Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with Ed Alexander. Ed and I welcome you to the show. It is tax day. Still have a few hours to get those tax returns in. There's always a line at the post office right up until midnight on April 15th, 2015. Hope you've gotten your taxes done, or at least if you haven't, asked for maybe an extension at this point. We have a full lineup, as usual, on the Buckmaster Show, where we come to you from AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We have live streaming on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. We have our podcasts and our complete show archive available for you 24/7, again, at buckmastershow.com. We're going to begin with a conversation with Tucson City Councilwoman, Ward 3 Councilwoman Karen Ulick is with me in studio. And then about 12:30, this big merger that has happened here is a huge story when it comes to healthcare in our area, the merger of the UA Health Care Services and Banner Health. We're going to be talking with the lady who is in charge of all of this Banner activity in Southern Arizona. That'll be about at 12:30. Then we'll close out the show. If you're dealing with seasonal allergies, and so many people are, especially when there is a red flag warning today, that's for, of course, fire danger, but it also could be for those who are suffering allergies to be prepared. Dr. Mark Sneller, the allergist, will be joining us about 12:45. The Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040. If you have a question or comment for Councilwoman Ulick, she would be delighted to hear from you. Our Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster. Councilwoman Karen Ulick, thank you for coming by the station.
Thanks, Bill.
How do you see all of this controversy over the charter change? A committee was tasked with, and they had many meetings, didn't they, with looking at a charter that goes back, I believe, to 1929?
That's correct.
Like that.
That's correct. And it has been amended from time to time, but it's been a while since it's been amended. And, you know, I think there is some controversy, although I would prefer to focus also on, number one, the quality of the volunteers who served. The committee did extremely well in grappling with some complicated problems, and we had a very good charter change expert really helped to facilitate that process. And several recommendations have been made from the committee almost unanimously, I believe, with regard to the powers of the mayor, some of the hiring and firing lines that are delineated with mayor and council, and also the civil service protection of department heads. And the challenges sometimes that we have with the manager being able to really lead the entire organization through change and challenging times. There are controversial issues where the committee was split that we're still discussing, and I think primarily that's centering on the question of whether to have ward-only elections.
Yeah, because we are one of the largest cities probably in the country that doesn't have ward-only elections, and I don't understand originally why that was in the late 1920s, how all that came about.
It's really more than that. It's that we have a hybrid system. It's one thing to have either all at-large or all ward-only elections, but the fact that we sort of have party primaries in the wards and then at large elections, I do think that it confuses people. And I think I've heard compelling arguments really for ward-only elections, for I think it's interesting that the idea of entirely at-large elections comes up. I don't know if that's, you know, tenable in a city of our size or not. So I think there's conversation going on, and I think that's healthy. And ultimately, we want to make sure that voters have an opportunity to weigh in on these questions. And of course, any question can be put in front of the voters by initiative as well.
Mm-hmm. And you yourself personally now have bought a home outside of the ward that you represent.
I tell you, it really brought home to me that I'm living by the rules, absolutely, and believe me, I wouldn't do otherwise, but that the rules are very confusing to people. We're all elected ultimately in the general election at large, and there are residency requirements, however, still. And the way that the charter is written, it essentially means that if you temporarily leave your ward, as long as you return, if you are, again, a candidate in that ward within a certain time frame. So it gets complicated and crazy-making, but I've maintained residence in Ward 3 because... mainly because it just seems like the right thing to do.
But the home you bought is in what ward?
In Ward 2. Without getting, you know, deep into my personal life, it was the right home for my family. I have two small children again, my second time around parenting. And so my personal and my family decisions drove all of that. But, you know, as an elected official, it all ends up on the Sunday front page.
All right. Let's go to the live line. Our friend Sean is with us, Sean McCluskey. Go ahead, Sean. You're with Karen Ulick.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. Councilmember Ulick, how do you justify taking your annual salary but not living in your ward? How are you not defrauding your voters who voted for you in the primary? And being an elected official in Ward 3 but not residing in Ward 3, how do you maintain continuity in your community if you don't live there and you don't know what's going on?
Yeah, and actually, again, I do have a residence in the ward. I live in the ward. I do also live in Ward 2. And so I know that my choice actually is to go way above and beyond what happened to be the rules right now by maintaining residency in Ward 3 and spending the majority of my time, believe me, in the ward. Now, I'm doing that, Sean, even though, as you know, the charter rules are confusing. And this is one of the rules that I'm living by, but that is confusing to the public and voters. We're elected at large in the general election. And so that, by the charter, means I can't live outside the city limits and have to follow those parameters. But
You must live in the city for 3 years prior to running for office. You also must live in your ward for one full year prior to running for that seat.
No, I hear you, Sean, and this is exactly why, despite the best decision for my family, I've maintained residence in Ward 3, and it's close to where my second job is, and it works well for my family. It's very close to my child's daycare and all of that. So, you know, I hear you, though, Sean, and this is why I think, to me, the question of ward-only elections or at-large elections is compelling because the rules as they are right now do confuse people, but it's the rules that are confusing and that people may feel betrayed by. It certainly is not by my own living by those rules or the choices I've made for the ward and for my service to the city.
All right, Roger would like to ask a question about the charter. Go ahead, Roger. Hey, Roger.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. As far as living by the rules you're doing, it's called bending the rules as far as I'm concerned. Those rules may be there, but you guys dig pretty dang deep to stay in power rather than do the right thing.
Okay.
As far as ward-wide voting goes, that thing is that takes away representation from two of the wards.
Citywide. Yeah, Roger, I hear you. I am no strong advocate for the system that we have right now, and I'm very open to the question of whether we should move to a ward-only election system. So despite the tone of your question, believe me, we don't necessarily disagree that there are some problems with the existing system.
So at this point, what happens, Karen, with the with these changes that have been about giving the mayor more power and some of these other changes. Now, will this be on the ballot in November?
The mayor and council is hearing from the Charter Committee, and we'll have, I would suspect, a public hearing again to hear from the public about which of the recommendations from the committee to refer to the ballot. And even when there was a split vote on ward only, I do think that the mayor and council will be talking about that question and whether or not to consider that for referral. And again, if the sentiments are strong, there may be a voter initiative to move questions forward in addition to whatever mayor and council refers.
Well, just by the tone of our first two calls, there's a lot of emotion about this charter.
Sure, there should
the
be.
Charter changes.
There should be.
All right, we're going to take our break right here. Kara Nulick will stick around for a second segment. It's 12:15 on the midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show. 790-2040. We'll be right back.
I can't believe we just saved $75,000 on our new dream home site. We discovered Rancho Soldados, the new custom home gated community with spectacular home sites located on Old Soldiers Trail. They are offering only 12 $75,000 discount lots, and we got one. Only six more are left. You have to see the custom homes already completed in Rancho Soldados to envision what's possible for your dream home.
On Tanque Verde, East Old Soldiers Trail, 207-4188, represented by Long Realty.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Hey, honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got three whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 570 projects to date. Our projects range from new roadway lanes to new transit services, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds crosswalks for added pedestrian safety and new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amado is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Karen Ulick is with us, Ward 3 Democrat councilwoman, whose name has been mentioned as a possible, possibly interested in congressional district number 2. Do you want to say anything to our listeners, councilwoman?
Well, as I said before, my decisions about where I live have been driven by the needs of my family, and I've settled in exactly where I need to be. So I sort of jokingly said to you, I don't know whether to feel complimented or insulted, given the rating that Congress gets overall. But seriously, I think it is a compliment. And it's probably driven by the whole Ward 2 question.
Yeah, and with Ron Barber making that announcement on our friend Jim Nintzel's TV show Sunday morning, saying Ron is not going to go challenge Martha McSally again, it's opened up lots of speculation, lots of names. I know that Bruce Wheeler is really seriously taking a look at running, but you know, there's still this decision, Karen, that is going to be coming down, I believe, from the U.S. Supreme Court that could redraw dramatically our congressional district lines in southern Arizona.
Yeah, I hope, you know, whatever the decision of the courts are, it's troubling when that kind of chaos is created, especially close to an election.
And it would be close because it would be about a year away. And
yeah.
And these days, that is close.
Yeah. I just think that people are still trying to get used to the new lines and figure out where they are and what to study up on and which candidates to get to know. So I just think it could diminish voter participation and also just their understanding of where they're represented and by whom.
Here's Frank on the live line. Called us at 790-2040. Has a question about, I believe, Balboa Heights. Go ahead, Frank.
Good afternoon, and good afternoon, Ms. Ulick. A pleasure.
Thank you.
Ms. Ulick, I've been in this neighborhood in Balboa Heights since 1975.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just been in total decline. I mean, we are blind pedestrians who are employed and have to walk through the neighborhood to get to the bus stop.
Mm-hmm.
Well, most of our sidewalks are impeded by overgrowth of trees, weeds, vehicles parked on sidewalks, tons and tons of doggy do. Will you please do something to clean up this neighborhood?
Okay.
We are
Thank
taxpayers,
you, Frank.
And we're not victims. However, you know, we need a safe place to walk.
Yeah.
It is a great neighborhood.
It is, actually, and I've spent quite a bit of time in the neighborhood, and Jane Baker and others who lead in that area have been very active. And the park there and the new water park for kids there is just an example of the kind of investment that whole area deserves and has earned and has made happen, quite frankly. So we do have regular meetings also with the police department focused in the area to make sure that safety remains a top priority. Infrastructure like sidewalks is something that is not, unfortunately, unique to Balboa Heights, but throughout the city. And how do we invest more in that kind of basics? And I think your call is so important to remind everybody that it's a matter of just safety, number one, and hugely also about the quality of life. People don't connect with each other or get from place to place well if there's not basic infrastructure. And as we look at bond packages, pedestrian safety and pedestrian infrastructure is increasingly at the top of the list, along with, you know, the roads and bicycle amenities as well.
Everybody's talking about roads, and Gloria would like to bring up the Grant Road widening, which is, if you've been in the area, it is well underway. Go ahead, Gloria.
Hi. Councilwoman, I know that we were all a bit surprised about Saturday. They started tearing down houses, or maybe it was before Saturday, and the woman who was right behind her house, she knew nothing about it coming, and evidently they called your office, and even you hadn't been informed. How did that miscommunication happen, and what's going to be done so it doesn't happen again?
Well, it's actually not true that our office or that I was unaware. There's been extensive public participation. There's a citizen task force and public noticing and a lot of outreach. So I think it is certainly surprising that an adjacent neighbor would not have known the specific timing. And there was even an offer put out by the city to all adjacent property owners to get into those structures before they were demolished to see if anybody wanted to salvage any materials out of those structures. So again, given that extensive noticing and the participation of neighbors who were quoted as having gotten into the structures to look at them, I'm surprised by your comment, Gloria. But we've worked real hard and have to keep working hard because it is a huge impact on people who own properties, who live adjacent to the corridor, and it is not something that's going to happen without, problems and people feeling negative impacts. Overall, I think the corridor investment is going to be a positive, but day after day, believe me, we're working with staff, with the task force, and with the public to make it as painless as possible.
All right, we're going to have to wrap it up, but I've only got about 5 minutes left, and was Gloria still? Oh, all right. Anyway, I'm sorry, Gloria. I couldn't take a follow-up because I have not even talked with the councilwoman about the budget. We kind of got off on some other topics in the budget hearings, and the whole budget process is getting very close, isn't it? I mean, the fiscal year is right around the corner.
Yeah, we're in it already, looking at projections for the impacts and anything that is going to be particularly challenging, and already starting to work on the budget. And the pension situation, particularly public safety pensions, is something that we're going to really grapple with squarely over the next year to figure out how we can meet our obligations and moving forward to make sure that it doesn't threaten other critical areas of the budget.
But in the operating in the black this budget?
Well, revenues are ticking up.
Yeah.
However, they're being those advances are overwhelmed by the increasing costs, particularly of the pension for public safety and other drivers. Transit, with the streetcar online now, it's been a great success, but there are costs associated. So.
Yeah, the transit budget, there's going to be a little bit of an operating deficit there, isn't there?
It's not, the frustrating thing to me is that it's not an operating deficit. It has to do with capital costs and the streetcar. And those are costs we have to deal with, but most capital costs are addressed through bonds or other state revenue streams or federal revenue streams. And so we have to look at all the options to make sure we cover transit and that we don't, that we don't hurt a system that's going to be increasingly important to the region's future.
Well, in a few moments, we're going to be talking with Kathy Bollinger of Banner Health. I know all the improvements and a huge infrastructure project at the formerly UMC University, it's now Banner University Medical Center, Tucson. That's in your ward. That's going to present a lot of job opportunities for construction people.
It's a huge capital investment right up front, and they clearly have a vision for not only that campus, but for their involvement and their investment in Tucson moving forward. So I think, I think everybody's anxious to see that unfold and to welcome them to our community.
And getting back to roads, some of the projects came in a little under budget. We had Daryl Cole on the show, Mr. Pavement.
Yeah.
Your transportation director, who was on with us a couple of weeks ago, and he said that you're actually able to do a little bit more than he thought they would have. They got a little more money.
Actually, significantly more. We're already on track to complete the five-year package within 2.5 years. So we are really almost able to redouble the effort. And people are already commenting on the improvements they're seeing, and they're going to see a whole lot more moving forward.
All right, Ed, I think we can work in one more call. Let's see if we can get Kevin on the air here. Go ahead, Kevin. You're with Karen Ulick.
Good afternoon. I'd like to ask the question that since the gross revenues of the transit area are about 13 to 15 million, and the total expenditures annually exceed 100 million, that it isn't the capital cost, it's the operating shortfall that will consume the $50 million from the city budget. Isn't that true, Karen?
Actually, no. The gross revenues, I think you're talking about the fare box revenues. Most systems recover about 25% of the operating cost at best out of the fare box. So, yes, it's true that the fare box, and that's about where we're at with the bus system. If you look at the $150 million in costs, that includes the capital costs, and recently has included issues that relate to the streetcar, which has been a very expensive proposition, but has paid off exponentially. So in my last e-note, I outlined very clearly the operating costs and the subsidy that we've been investing, which we do need to, I'm certainly not an advocate for spending without justification. We have to make sure that we're keeping a handle on the costs. My point has been bus riders have not been the cause by any stretch of the increasing costs. It's the cost of the streetcar. And before we raise rates on Vantran riders, which is the main subsidy that we offer citywide, we really need to think about what that would do to not only the riders, but the economy, employers, and other people throughout the region.
Karen Ulick, thank you very much for coming by. Councilwoman in Ward 3. Karen, thanks a lot. Hope you have a great afternoon.
Thank you.
All right, coming up on the Buckmaster Show, we're going to take our mid-show break. We're going to hear from the people that believe in our work, and we ask that you support them. When we come back, Kathy Bollinger is on the live line. We're going to talk about the Banner University Medical merger. That will be coming up on the midweek edition of Buckmaster. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amori's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amori is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amori, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amori on the web at viroamori.com.
Hi, wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data, because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine. Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us. How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $84 a month for the first 6 months with a 3-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card after online redemption. Bundle and save today. Visit CoxBusiness.com. Ends 5/3/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit CoxBusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
The ocean. Tucsonans see it as a summer escape, but our oceans are more than that. How do overfishing and coastal pollution ripple into our lives? What are the impacts of ocean acidification? At the University of Arizona Biosphere 2, we're learning how oceans and the desert are linked. Explore our desert sea this April for Earth Month activities at Biosphere 2 and find us online at biosphere2.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Twelve thirty-five now on our midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show, coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, with live streaming at KVOI.com and at BuckmasterShow.com. Well, on March 1st, the UA Health Network merged into Banner Health in Arizona, and that's a big deal. An Arizona-based nonprofit company, Banner, operates 28 hospitals in seven western states. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line is Kathy Bollinger. Kathy is the Executive Vice President of Academic Delivery for Banner Health. In that role, she is responsible for the oversight of Banner University Medical Center in Tucson, formerly UMC, Banner University Medical Center South, formerly Keno, Banner University Medical Center Phoenix, formerly Banner Good Samaritan Hospital, and Banner University Medical Group, the Physician Practice Plan. Kathy, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Bill. Thank you for the opportunity to join your show today.
Banner, I guess, came about, formed in 1999, but you've had tremendous and steady growth, haven't you?
Yes, we in fact have. Since 1999, when Banner was formed from a merger of Lutheran Healthcare Network, which was headquartered in North Dakota, and Samaritan Health, which was headquartered in Phoenix. And that was really that gave us our beginning as Banner Health.
Talk about this historic merger that took place on March 1st. Why is this a good thing? Why is this going to make life better, hopefully, for those of us living here in Tucson?
Well, that's a great question, and I think it's really historic for a number of reasons. Number one is this is something that Banner has wanted to accomplish for really, and have been working on it for about the last 2 years, to become much more closely affiliated with the University of Arizona College of Medicine as a very critical part to Banner's puzzle of delivering the absolute best clinical care at the most affordable cost and in a way that really delivers a stellar experience for patients. We have been extremely committed to the University of Arizona for a long time, and in fact, the third and fourth year medical students here from the College of Medicine Tucson have been trained, probably 75% of them have been trained at Good Samaritan Medical Center in Phoenix for the last 30 or 40 years. So this has been a partnership for a long time, but we were ready to become much more closely aligned and incentivized to use the discovery and research of the faculty of the University of Arizona and combine that with Banner's really excellent clinical delivery company to transform not just academic medicine, but all of Banner in a very significant way. It's been a very complex three-way negotiation between the University of Arizona, Banner Health, and the University of Arizona Health Network Board. And let me just maybe highlight a few of the specifics that will be observable to the Tucson community. First of all, we have negotiated a 30-year academic affiliation agreement with the University of Arizona Colleges of Phoenix and Tucson, which means that Banner Health is their clinical partner, and we together will be responsible to a large extent for each other's success. Secondly, we have created an endowment fund of $300 million that will provide a $20 million budget every year for the Academic Management Council, which is the governing body for this new entity, to be spent on investing in faculty recruitment, program development, and overall academic enhancements. Additionally, Banner will fund to the Senior Vice President of Health Sciences, Dr. Skip Garcia, $20 million a year to support research at the two colleges of medicine within the University of Arizona. And then lastly, we have committed to investing $500 million in new facilities and infrastructure in Tucson to improve the clinical delivery.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about that infrastructure. That's going to be a nice economic infusion to this community because you're talking about plans now for an 11-story tower that will replace the original hospital. That's going to be an infusion of money into our community, correct?
That is absolutely an infusion of money.
I mean, because you've got construction jobs that are going to be coming on. And this is a program that's going to take a couple of years, I guess, to build, correct?
Yes, that is correct. We are very optimistic that our zoning case is going to go through and be approved and that we will be ideally able to start the actual renovation and construction by the very end of this calendar year. And it will take us until 2019, we anticipate, to be fully operational in our new home.
Kathy Bollinger is with us from Banner on the Buckmaster Show. And also, I hear there's something about a new multi-specialty outpatient clinic building that's coming online.
Yes, and in fact, that will be available to the community even before the new core of the hospital will be complete. Essentially, what we have identified is a very significant need to create better access to outpatient services. Specifically, we've got amazing faculty here that are part of the Banner University Medical Group and the University of Arizona faculty for the College of Medicine, and it's difficult to get into them. And we have a real desire to improve access, and part of that is to create new physical space for our physicians to provide care in their outpatient clinics. Today, they are doing so. Some of their clinics are in the hospital. They are in multiple different locations around Tucson, and we are committed to building a multi-specialty outpatient care building on the North Campus, which is where our University of Arizona Cancer Center is. There, we will identify and optimize many efficiencies and synergies of services next to one another, and it will really be a place that patients can receive care in a very customer-centric way. Mm-hmm. And we have tremendous excitement about being able to bring this service to the community, and I'm hoping that will be here for our use within 2+ years.
All right, let's go to our live line. Matthew has a question for you. Kathy Bollinger, go ahead, Matthew.
Yeah, first, Kathy, I'd like to say that, you know, in my work as an AIG workers' comp adjuster, I've had experience with Banner people and Banner, and your employees have always impressed me as quality people, and who always speak well of their own organization. In recognizing the uniqueness, this is probably the most unique situation that's ever occurred with you guys and UMC. You guys, could you correct me? You are a nonprofit.
That's
real
great.
Quickly.
Yes, Matthew, and thank you for the kind words about our employees. Banner is, in fact, the fifth largest nonprofit, non-secular healthcare organization in the United States.
And this is my question. You have secured something that's probably the most valuable thing in Arizona, which is UMC, which is our only Southern Arizona Level 1 trauma center.
Mm-hmm.
And that has got to be the number one priority to maintain its ability to maintain that status as a level one. And also, where would you assess the level one capacity now and into the future? And does Tucson need another level one? And I'm thinking Keno. In the future as a planning option. And that's my question. Thank you so much for everything you're doing. Bye.
Thank you, Matthew.
Yes, thank you for the question, Matthew. So first of all, let me just talk about trauma, level one trauma here at the Banner University Medical Center Tucson campus, as well as a couple of other programs that are equal jewels, I would say, of what this campus is contributing to Tucson. We are completely committed to maintaining these programs and to expanding the programs to meet the needs of the community. Level one, the level one trauma program at UMC is a very strong program. It is a very substantial contributor to the community. And I will tell you that trauma service, particularly level one trauma service, which, as you know by your question, provides the highest level of trauma for individuals, is a very expensive program. And so organizations do not make decisions lightly to expand level one trauma programs. Rather, what they tend to do is to create a trauma system so that other hospitals in the community have the level of trauma designation that they are most suited to provide, and make sure that those level one trauma patients really do get to the site that has the best capability to provide that complex care.
Okay.
So I do not anticipate another level one trauma program, and clearly not a second one within our family here in Tucson.
Okay, Kathy, I'm going to have to wrap it up, but I want to close by saying this merger, mergers and acquisitions are common in the healthcare industry, but I think it's worth noting, Kathy Bollinger, that this type of partnership between a private company and a university is really rare, isn't it, nationally?
It is rare.
Kathy, thank you very much, and good luck to you and everybody associated with Banner and the University of Arizona. I appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you for the opportunity to tell our story. I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. Kathy Bollinger of Banner Healthcare with us on the Buckmaster Show. Are you suffering from allergy problems this season? So many people are. Mark Sneller is waiting in the wings. He'll tell us perhaps what we could do to make things a little easier. That's next on Buckmaster.
It's spring cleaning time once again. This year, you can offer a fresh start to someone in your community and a fresh start for your stuff. Goodwill is accepting donations of clothes, electronics, and household items. The revenues from your gently used items will fund job training and community-based services to people here in Southern Arizona. So while you get yourself and your home off to a fresh start this spring, you'll be helping someone else nearby do the same. More information is available at goodwillsouthernaz.org.
Do bees worry you? Do bees scare you? Would you like to know a pest control company who can give you options in dealing with this situation? How about bee removal? Or would you prefer to send them straight to bee heaven? Five Star Termite and Pest Control can give you these options. Call the professionals at Five Star, 886-0045. Fivestar-termite.com.
Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Sunlink Streetcar, Sun Shuttle, Twin Peaks Interchange, Valencia Road, Houghton Road, Saharita Road, McGee Road. Just a few examples of projects funded through the Regional Transportation Authority. Since voter approval of the RTA plan in 2006, the RTA and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 570 projects to make our transportation network safer and less congested. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
American Openings is pleased to be a sponsor of Good News Radio Broadcasting, featuring local news and information on AM 1030 KVOI, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ on KGMS 940 AM, positive and encouraging music on 88.1 FM K-Love, and pop classics on KCEE 690 AM. American Openings is a locally owned door and window manufacturer, concerned about our community and proud to be a partner with Good News Radio to help make our community a better place.
honey. Welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Thursday on the Buckmaster Show, our quarterly air service update as we get the latest news concerning efforts to get more nonstop flights from Tucson. Also, where have all the teachers gone? Buckmaster, noon to 1, each weekday on AM 1030, KVOI, The Voice, with anywhere in the world live streaming podcasts and show archive at buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. What a great getaway this is for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours east of Tucson. So many wonderful places to stay in the area like Little Toad Creek Inn, Pinos Altos Cabins. And remember, over Memorial Day, they have the 20th annual Silver City Blues Festival. Taj Mahal will be the headliner for that event. That's going to be a big deal over in Silver City, and we thank Silver City and Grant County for their support of the Buckmaster Show. We send a lot of our listeners over there, and everybody comes back saying the same thing. I had no idea what a beautiful area of the West and the Southwest that is in that corner of Southwest New Mexico. Well, we're having a lovely spring with brilliant yellow of the Palo Verde trees at their peak of color, but for those suffering seasonal allergies, the season of beauty can turn into a season of misery, and it already has for many people. Joining me in studio, Dr. Mark Sneller. Mark is the founder of Aeroallergen Research and author of the book Greener, Cleaner Indoor Air. Dr. Sneller was Pima County's former official pollen and mold monitor until budget cuts in the year 2000 ended that monitoring program. Mark, good to see you.
Oh, glad to be here, Bill. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
I am so glad we have reconnected. I must have had you on the TV show over the years. I don't know. Couple of dozen times.
At least, yeah.
Couple of dozen times. But anyway, I'm glad we've reconnected, and here you are now on the radio. It is a difficult season because we had that rain, and sure, everything looks great, but how bad is this season right now?
We don't have the exact figures because we don't have the extensive monitoring that we had at one point. However, in my work projects, monitoring air quality around the city and in homes and checking out mold problems and water damage and such, I do run monitors. You're right about the rain this season. What typically happens is that the amount of ragweed that we get in the spring, and for us here in the desert Southwest, it's the same ragweed it is in other parts of the country, but it's adapted to the spring and not the fall. And so It's directly related to the amount of rainfall that we get, just as the fall weed season is directly related to the monsoon rains. Well, we had a lot of rain that gets down into the soil. It triggers the germination of seeds and hence a lot more ragweed counts. What happens then is each plant produces perhaps billions of pollen grains, and clinically speaking, the medical community is varied on this, but many think that maybe only 10 or less pollen grains per cubic meter of air. I mean, picture close to a cubic yard of air. 10 will trigger a response. And I was monitoring in some areas 60, 80, and even up to 800 pollen grains on of ragweed for a while. And that's going to, we're still seeing some ragweed going on. And of course, that triggered off a great round of respiratory problems. I think that there was also a cold virus going around, too, that combined with this whole thing. And we've got all this coughing and mucus production going on. I've got it. And this is the first time in my life I've ever had anything this extensive.
Wow. So it's sort of a combination of maybe the system was weakened anyway by either the cold or the allergies, one or the other.
Yeah.
Kind of combined for a double whammy.
Right, exactly. And that's where we're at right now. And normally you have in March and April, you have your mulberry season. That only lasts about 3 weeks. Then there's a dip. And then there's the olive season, which lasts about 6 weeks. And then there's a gap. But the ragweed will bridge that gap so that there's no respite. And so you have a straight ragweed season going straight across into May. And that now that our sensitivities are up, we're now sensitive to the kinds of things that generally we put in, say, the third tier of allergens. I mean, you have grasses and ragweeds and all the hardcore kinds of nasties. Mm-hmm. And in your second tier, you'll have maybe ash, you'll have mulberry, olive. Olive might be in the first tier, but, you know, those kind of middle ground. Then you have things like maybe mesquite, palo verde, juniper, eucalyptus, sumac, kind of the lower level. But when you're sensitive now and your sensitivities are increased, then you become more sensitive to the kinds of second and third tier allergens that are out. And looking at the palo verde, I mean, I've never seen it so spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
it looks just fantastic.
Some areas of town are just incredible, but the amount of palo verde pollen is also proportional to that color.
Now, I want to talk a little bit about, I remember when this book came out, Greener, Cleaner Indoor Air, and it's done really well on Amazon, hasn't it?
It was in the top 2% of Amazon sales for
a
while. It's still available on Amazon.
And what I like about the book, it's really kind of common down-to-earth advice about how you can perhaps cut down on allergens around your own house. Give us a couple of those tips.
Well, let me say something very quickly,
please.
That because the book had 116 chapters written for the layman. It's the best layman's book that's ever been written for indoor air quality. And the South Koreans got a hold of the book and bought the Asian rights to the book, and now I have 6 copies of the book in South Korean.
Oh, my goodness.
I can't read it, but it's kind of neat to have that published overseas.
Yeah.
Typically, what we're looking at indoors is respiratory irritants.
Mm-hmm.
Fragrances are big.
Yeah.
That's a big respiratory irritant. Tracking particles inside by shoes is another big issue.
Yeah, you go outside to water.
You track your pollen inside.
So maybe
inside.
What? Leave the shoes at the front door.
It's as simple as that. And a lot of the dust and allergens are going to be cut down. If you have evaporative cooler, that's good. Make sure it's maintained.
Yeah, we've got ours cranked up.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's going to give you positive pressure and blow out the dust and the bad guys out of the out your windows. So that's going to be very helpful. And it's going to add moisture to your air, too, which is going to help relieve your sensitivities. And, you know, you don't have this dry issue with 2% or 4% humidity anymore. Now you've got a decent amount of indoor humidity at 30%, and it's going to help the breathing too.
Okay, Dr. Mark Sneller, we can get the book Greener, Cleaner Indoor Air. That's at Amazon. And for folks that want to do some, you to do consulting, which you do, that's how you make your living, go to your website, aeroallergen.com, is that correct?
The website is actually globalgreenair.com.
Okay.
Yeah, we kind of changed it around. Well, one of them got stolen, so we had to reinvent
it. Okay. Global?
Green Air.
Okay.
GlobalGreenAir.com. It talks about the book, and it talks about me a little bit, and tells you how to get in touch with us.
All right. Well, now I'm happy we've reconnected.
Definitely.
And you're going to be kind of a semi-regular, certainly for the seasons as they come and go. Mark Sneller, I'm glad that we have reconnected. Thank you.
Always a pleasure, Bill. Always.
All right. The Buckmaster Show also, thank you, Mark, for coming in. The Buckmaster Show wants to thank Mike Emery and the team at Perfection Auto Works. Mike does a fantastic, his team over there, there's AAA, these are the top-rated mechanics. You can find them at Midtown location, one block south of Speedway, 1046 North Beverly. They're offering a free 26-point inspection, perfectionautoworks.com. One of our other very popular local shows coming up this afternoon at 4, 4 Tucson with Mike Shaw, 4 Tucson at 4, and then Wake Up Tucson, Chris and Joe, 6 to 8, the Daily Double from 8 to 9, then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you with Ed Alexander, 1204. Have a great afternoon.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.